walking. Something most of us take for granted until we can't for some reason. And I know of what I speak, and a lot of you do too. Then it just becomes something you desperately miss and you can't wait to do it again. Walking is something that just happens. You know, you hit a certain point in your early development and you just take off walking. Now, kids who are here, I bet your parents, well, if you're the oldest, they probably know exactly when you took your first steps. If you're the second, they might know. You might even have a baby book, but third and on, they're going to guess. My daughter asked me yesterday, I said, I have no idea. I used to make up something, but, you know, she's old now and I could say, I don't know. So we looked it up in the baby book. People walk for a lot of reasons. You know, some of them say, well, it's great exercise. It's just not a word in my vocabulary, so I wouldn't know. But how many of you are wearing a Fitbit? Could you hold it up? Nobody here? Just a few. Do you know why you're wearing a Fitbit? I've surveyed people. Most of them have no idea why. Why they're really wearing one. One of the youth said, well, my mom gave it to me, so I kind of have to wear it. But I don't look at it. And then one of the adults said, well, it just kind of gives other people the illusion that I do exercise. So it looks good. Then we've got the perfectionist back here who, she's not here. Where is she? She's not in the service. I'm sorry. But you know how last week, Carissa self-proclaimed her perfectionism. So she has a reason. She sets a goal, and she wears that Fitbit to make sure she's going to hit her goal. Somebody after 8 o'clock said, well, my husband and I compete, so I have to wear it. People also, a newer thing in our culture these days is to walk for awareness or to raise funds for something. You know, for years and years here and in this community, we walked for a thing called the Crop Walk, and that was for Church World Service, and we walked up B&A Trail. I don't know that it's done in this community anymore, but a lot of people do certain walks, like I have walked, and I think next September we will be walking for suicide prevention and awareness. My personal favorite is the one the youth have done many times called the Memory Walk for Alzheimer's, and we are going to be doing that next October. So you raise money and you raise awareness, and it really helps. Recently, thousands of kids walked out of school to honor 17 youth and their teachers and to make a statement about certain laws. And then this weekend, you couldn't have missed it if you turned your TV on, but in 800 cities worldwide, people of all ages walked, called it a march, actually, for these same people and these same causes. And I don't think we've heard the end of that. I hope we haven't, frankly. I have a pastor friend who says there is nothing that will clear her head and calm her heart like a 20-minute walk. She doesn't need any more. I said, well, do you pray the whole time? She said, well, kind of not really. I don't form anything in my head, but I'm very aware of where I am and of God being there and the world around me. When my granddaughter, about to turn 13, I know, when did that happen? I don't know. But when she was really little, we would take walks in our neighborhood. And that was like the best part of my day. To have that little hand in my big hand, and we just tripped through Kensington is where we lived at the time, and she would help herself to the neighbors' backyards. Betty McManamay was our backyard neighbor, and Maggie went in there and played with her. You know, she had those little figurines in her yard, and Maggie would play with those and tromp all over her flowers. It was great. But I cherished that time to walk with her. She won't do it with me now. But in our story today, there's a lot of people walking. Funny thing is, Jesus is not one of them. Jesus is on the donkey, a common pack animal. Usually when people made a grand entrance into a big city, they would ride a war horse, a big stallion-type war horse, not Jesus. He was riding in to bring a message, not of war, but of peace. He was not all puffed up and full of himself. He was humble, and he did not think more of himself than of anybody in that crowd, children, youth, adults. Why were those people there, do you think? Willing to walk with him, waving their palms, shouting, Hosanna. I have a theory that they showed up that day because they knew him. They knew something about him. If they didn't experience him firsthand, they heard about him. And they really wanted to know who this was. Maybe they were some of the 5,000 that were fed with one little boy's lunch. Maybe they sat out on a hillside and listened for hours to him teach. Maybe they had witnessed a healing, like the one by the pool or in a crowded home or out on the street. Maybe they knew that he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Maybe they saw people change because they had been with Jesus. Tax collectors, people who broke the law, people who nobody else loved, changed in the presence of Jesus. But no matter how, these people walked with Jesus because they knew him. His greatness and his power, his gentleness and his caring, they knew him. They were willing to walk that day to be part of a celebration and to be as close to him as they could. Now, when I was a little girl, I always wanted to be as close to my father as I could get. And we were one of those Baltimore families whose summer vacation was 1 week in Ocean City. That was it. And I cherished that time, especially with my dad. We would walk every day at the edge of the water. And you know how it is, that sand there, you leave significant footprints, right? So we'd walk together, and obviously his footprint was way bigger than mine at the time. And I was fascinated, but his stride was bigger, and I was fascinated by his footprint. So I would drop back and try to walk, literally walk, in his footsteps. Well, that was a little tough because I was small, and I had to almost, have you done this? Have you, anybody done this? You know what I mean? You have to run and jump almost to land perfectly in those big footsteps. So it was so much fun, but it was hard. It was hard to walk exactly in my father's footsteps. I kind of think it's what those people in Jerusalem were trying to do that day. I think it was more than a parade for them. I think they were seeking something more. And how about us? Why are we here today? Are we just loving a parade, or are we looking for something more? What does it mean for us to walk in the footsteps of our Father, walk in the footsteps of Jesus? First, I think to do that, it means to get as close to him as we can. And how do we do that? By learning as much about him as we possibly can. Now, I know some kids, I don't know if it's true of these guys here, but I hear kids all Sunday morning complain about going to Sunday school. Imagine that. Actually, I confessed at the first service that I cried every Sunday till I was 5. And look at me now. I can't wait to get home, but look at me now. What you are learning now in Sunday school, and you adults who are smart enough to sign up for classes, what you are learning now will make you a much happier and stronger person later on. If you don't believe me, ask some of my youth, ask some of our college kids. They know what this means. So learn all you can about Jesus, and it will bring you closer to God. Secondly, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, I think, is to try to live like him. To treat people well, no matter who they are, just like he did. To be gentle with people's feelings, and not judgmental, to forgive people and give them a second chance, and sometimes just be quiet and let them tell their story and listen. Walking in my dad's footsteps made me feel like I was a bigger and stronger person. It was an accomplishment. It made me feel very confident. Everybody liked my father, and that made me want to be like him. He got in trouble with the police once. I don't want to be like that, but wait, let me think. No, I'm good. He worked in Baltimore, and he would walk the streets with a bag of nickels and put nickels in the parking meters of all the meters that ran out so nobody would get a ticket. So the police stopped him one day and said, "Sir, you can't do that." And he's like, "I think I can. It's my nickel." And they said, "Just stop it." So he stopped until the police was out of sight, and then he went on putting nickels in the... I'm going to tell you another story that I didn't tell at the other two services. See, aren't you lucky? I have so much time. So my dad was at a park, it was the first car at a stoplight, and this little old African-American woman was crossing the street, and she was just going too slow. And he knew that light was going to change, and the drivers in Baltimore are a little crazy, so he was really worried. So as the light's changing, he hops out of his car and helped this little lady across the street. Hop back in his car. People are honking. He doesn't care. And drives on. Well, he notices that the car that was honking behind him is following him. So he starts to get a little nervous. So he takes a whole different route. Anywhere he went, this car followed him. Finally, he pulled into a gas station and got out. And that car pulled in also. And getting out of the car was this enormous African-American man. And my dad was not that big, and he's like sweating now. And so the guy said, "Sir, I saw what you did back there at the light." And my dad says, "Yeah." The guy said, "That was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." He said, "I'm Big George. Anybody in this city gives you any trouble, you tell them, you know Big George." My dad lived protected after that. Well, I wanted to be like him. I wanted to live like that, as the kids say. But then the third thing is, we realize if we're going to be serious about this, it's not going to be easy. Nobody said following Jesus is the easiest thing you'll ever do. There are some hard decisions we have to make. You know, it's just as hard, like it was hard for me to match those footsteps in the sand. It's hard to live like him. Like when you're going to be nice to the kid at school who nobody else is nice to, and then your friends give you a hard time. It's like, don't talk to him, and you know, you've taken a stand. And that's what Jesus would do. Or, hey, in the workplace, if you see something that is unethical and you decide to expose it, that's risky. But that is something that we do because that's living like Jesus. It's very hard to hold your peers accountable. If somebody you're very close to and you know they're doing something they shouldn't be doing or have told you before, I hope I don't do that, but then they give in and you hold them accountable, that's hard. That's very hard to hold Jesus' standards up to other people. The good news is he'll walk with you no matter what. Now this Holy Week alone, let's look at where Jesus will walk. He'll walk into a temple where he will see cheating and lying and everything not associated with worship going on. He will walk upstairs into an upper room and have dinner and break some really unfortunate news to his best friends. He will walk into a garden where he will have some difficult prayer. He will walk into the court where he knows he's going to be humiliated and beaten. And finally, he will walk uphill with a heavy cross on his back, knowing exactly what's going to happen. That will be hard for him. And it will be hard for us if we walk with him. because we need to remember again what he was willing to do for us. Can you do it? Can you do it? I hope you can, because the reward will be great when you walk into the garden next week. It will be worth it. That's a spoiler alert. I read the book, so I know what's going to happen. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus, walking in the footsteps of your Heavenly Father, will bring you much closer to him. It will help you to live like him, and it will give you that sense of certainty that he is with you no matter how tough times get. It's easy to walk with him today. Who doesn't love a good parade? But the question is, are you willing to walk in the footsteps of Jesus for the rest of your life? I promise you, you make that choice, it will be worth it. It will make all the difference in your life. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.